Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Go ahead.
okay, okay.
All right, we're live.
Yes, let's go.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mary.
Wait, what am I doing? I thought you said you
were live. Doing. We're live.
Emily. What am I? Yeah, I know. What am I saying?
Okay.
You were doing the intro, I thought.
I got it. Don't worry. Sorry, apologies for the smorgasbord, ladies and gentlemen, girls and people of all ages and everyone who's here on this show, part of the Ohana Packers. Ohana Packers, we are the Mac and Cheese Podcast. Me, with your host, Angry Cheesehead, and Mary. And today we have a special guest. We have Dusty right here joining us for the show. But before we get started, of course, we have to deal with a big elephant in the room, and that is with what happened the other day with the situation in Kansas City. One dead, 23 shot. You know, everybody's wounded. The kids got shot. There were kids that got shot too, but I heard they were all making a good recovery, so they should be fine. But it's just a horrible travesty to see. No NFL fan base should experience this. No fan base of any kind should experience this, so. I would like to ask if we could take a moment of silence for those involved, for those innocent lives involved. Thank you. All right, Mary, you can take the reins.
Why do we get thrown out? Why did it switch on me? Fine, whatever.
Sure, go. Come on.
You. Shorted out the intro a little bit. I know. So Dusty's Twitter will be in the bio. We don't have that yet. So we have to mention this. We've been supporting Tom Grassi throughout Fan of the Year. Dusty, did you meet Tom during 30 and 30?
No, yeah, I wanted to. Not, he was I'm in Kentucky. Okay. He came through so, Cincinnati.
Avery and I have two. So we just want to, what?
I missed him in Cincy. It was raining. It was almost rained out, so I didn't get a chance to make it up there, unfortunately. But I really wanted to.
I met him at Tampa with Justin. I know he's in chat and I know Angry.
Yeah, they went to the one in Tampa. I went to the one in Charlotte.
Want to congratulate Tom for winning Fan of the Year of the NFL this year. That was a huge.
Yeah, it's definitely an experience, but, you know, it was great seeing Tom out there. And, of course, we're going to talk about him here in a little bit. Justin saying congratulations to Tom on winning Fan of the Year. Yes, we're going to get to that in just a moment. First, of course, we got our, you know, usual. First of all, Dusty, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know how it goes, man. Busy at work. But for the most part, it's been a pretty good day. Got to have lunch with my daughter at her school today. She's in second grade, so it was a lot of fun. So all in all, pretty good day. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fine myself. I know I've been absent from the podcast for the past couple of weeks. It's just been my new career going on. I really haven't had the time to do this. And of course, I'm going to be gone the next 3 weeks due to further training that's from early in the morning. So Fred, I will not be here for the next 3 weeks, but I should be back and ready to go. So sadly, this is going to be the only time you see me out of the whole 2 months, but I should be back. But otherwise, not things are going good. Just, you know, doing a dream. Mary, your turn. How are things going for you?
Things are going good for me. It's been, it's just tough living in Florida. It's hot and cold at the same time.
It's hot and cold. How's it cold?
Angry. I know a lot of the podcast crew missed you. Coming from the main host.
Well, I'm here now, yeah. Sadly for only one day, but I should be back in 3 weeks again because of work. Sorry. It's just, like I said, career is overtaking a lot of this stuff, and I need to just focus on that for the next 3 weeks until, you know, I'm in a clear and we can continue on this. I'm not leaving. I'm just trying to get this done.
Yes. No, Angry will never leave us. He will always be part of the crew no matter what happens.
Definitely. So, so you want to go ahead and start asking the questions there, or do you want to? All right, so tell you what. If you want, I could go first.
I need a pen. Yeah, go ahead.
So, of course, I want to kind of go on topic for this first question. So I want your honest thoughts about this past season, how we've done, you know, in terms of performance from expectations in the beginning to the middle, how we were slumped to the end where we were firing on all cylinders all the way to the wild card, but sadly coming up short in the divisional round against the Niners. What were your thoughts, Dusty, about, you know, the entire Packers season as a whole?
I mean, early season played out about what I expected. It was all those young guys, you know, Love's first year starting, obviously, but so many rookie receivers. I think it was what the youngest rookie class, wide receiver class since the 2016 Browns. So it was kind of one of those. Mm-hmm. They were going to be learning on the fly. It was going to be rough. When they came out of the gate in week one against the Bears, I was like, all right, dude, like they might be good off the bat. And then we saw, like, you know, they kind of started off well against the Falcons, fell apart a little bit, had a whole bunch of even in that first game against the Bears, there were like miscommunications where they clearly just weren't on the same page. So it's kind of one of those like, okay, my expectations were first half-ish of the season, learning. You're kind of learning on the job. And then the last half, you kind of take off and you play really well. I think before the season, I had penciled them in for the playoffs. I don't know how much I believe that. And that was really more weak NFC than anything. So when they kind of started off hot, my expectations got tweaked, right. You know, against the Bears. I was at the Saints game, and so I was riding a high off that Saints game, even though they looked terrible for 3.5 quarters in that game. The middle part looked worse than I thought. Once they hit the middle section,
nice.
Love kind of hit the worst section of the year. And the receivers still were not on the same page. Obviously, there were some injuries with that. Jones was out for some of that as well. And so there was kind of this, I was feeling good, and then the first half was kind of like, okay, they weren't great. They got to the middle of the season, and they were still having a lot of those same issues. And I was like, okay, this might be bad. So when they turned it on at the end of the season, like by the end of it, the entire season played out about what I had hoped, but not in the way I had hoped, I guess. But the way they kind of had to learn on the job and did that, and by the time they got to the end, everything was buttoned up. I mean, the thing that surprised me was, I mean, some of those rookies contributing and how they contribute. It was, you know, Jaden Reed, like rookie receivers and rookie tight ends traditionally don't do well. Now they had to this year because they didn't have anyone else out there, but they went from, you know, Reed was good from the jump. Wicks kind of took a little bit of time to get on the field. He was good. Musgrave was good. Then he went down. Kraft looked like he didn't know what he was doing. Like he looked like he forgot how to play football. And then the last half of the season, he took off. And so it's kind of all these young guys, some of them producing right away. And then some of them producing by the end. I'll say the season as a whole, where they ended was where I hoped they were going to, but I think the path they took to get there was different than I had anticipated, I'd say.
Okay. I know we talk about a lot about the offense, but how about the defense, the special teams, your feelings on that?
I mean, special teams, I don't know, man. Special teams is cursed, right? I mean, they brought in Bisaccia. They're paying him a ton of money. I looked at this before, when they hired him. He traditionally, his teams had been usually like year one of a new team. They'd been top 10, top 12, somewhere in that range. And then he usually leveled out around somewhere between like 15 to 18, like a mediocre special teams is what Bisaccia normally fields. Sorry, I don't know what just happened there. What he normally fields is like a mid-range one. I keep waiting for that to happen. They're still making dumb mistakes. They're still doing terrible stuff. He had guys on there that they were only bringing on to do like specifically special teams. They're still not very good. They carried Levitt on the roster for like 2 years and they're still not doing good. So special teams, I assume, is cursed because I don't know what the other explanation for that is. I think they they found something I like Reed right. as a returner, but I also don't like Reed as a returner right. because that I don't like the injuries that can play into that. And he got some injuries as a result of some of that stuff. So special teams, I don't have anything big on special teams. I think they're cursed. Defense was defense. Joe Barry is Joe Barry. I think towards the end of the season, I do think LaFleur basically like shoved him up against the locker and was like, listen, buddy, you're not doing this anymore. Like, we've got to get a little more aggressive. We got to bring a little more heat. We got to mix some stuff up. So by the end of it, they look good, but it was still like, it was still Joe Barry, and they forced him into something else. The pieces look good. I really liked, I think TJ Slayton's come along nice. I think before the season, I had said something to the effect of like, I think TJ Slayton is who TJ Slayton is. And then I think he stepped it up a notch this year. I think Devontae Wyatt showed some good stuff. LVN showed some nice stuff down the stretch. So Quay had a really good season. They've got pieces, and I do think they've got some holes to fill, I think, especially with Halfley coming in. But I think as a whole, they've got good pieces, but I'd say the defense was better down the stretch than I thought, but like they still at best are like mediocre, I'd say.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I definitely feel like that one play against the San Francisco 49ers, the special teams, definitely sums up where Keyshawn Nixon ran for good distance, fumbled, but Eric Wilson saved the day.
That's one of the best fumble recoveries I've ever seen. Like on the fly. Oh my gosh. That's insane.
Yeah. Kudos to Eric Wilson. Definitely a legend. He saved our skins from getting our asses completely into us, but keeping it close. But defense, I definitely agree. We've seen it. And I was at the show. And seeing the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, you know, we're fighting. And then, like, towards the middle and the end, I'm like, oh, there's Joe Barry again. I'm like, oh, God, are we seriously going to lose to the freaking Panthers? But we got a lot of luck.
Yeah. Bryce Young, like, putting up 30 is just unforgivable, man. Unforgivable.
Over 300 yards. Yeah, that's unforgivable. Like, come on, man. But that's just me.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mary, would you like to take the next question? Take the first one?
Yeah. Oh, the first actual question? What are your favorite moments from Lambeau?
What are your favorite
moments from Lambeau?
Like from this season or just from the times I've been there?
In general.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the big ones was really, I mean, I would say in person, it's like hard to, it's hard to forget your first time going there. My first game was 07. It was week 17. It was it was Favre's last game as a starter, or Favre's last game in the regular season, I guess. It was a meaningless game against the Lions, but walking out of that tunnel for the first time and seeing the field just absolutely blew my mind. So, I mean, I've seen quite a few games there now. I think like one of the best games, we're at the KC game this past year. I was at the Patriots game in 2014, like as far as like game experiences and the Saints game this past year as well. I mean, the Saints that I couldn't talk for 3 days after the Saints game this past year. So that was pretty incredible. I don't know. As far as, there's been so many great moments there. I think of the game I've watched 1,000 times. The 96 NFC Championship game, Dorsey Levin's touchdown, right corner. I think as far as like games I have watched that I've not, was not there in person, but moments in Lambeau, that was one of the big ones there was that, that catch where he jammed the heel down in the right corner of the end zone. That was just tremendous. Right.
Excellent. And that the Saints game and all that, was that like your current one too, like from this year or?
It's from this year, probably. Yeah. I went with Maggie Loney and Perry Goldstein and Maggie's husband. And we all went to that game together and just the experience of being able to do that. I'd been up there with them a couple games, but that was just a tremendous game to see with those people was incredible. So that was one thing in of itself. And the people around us were great as well, which is always awesome. But then that Chiefs game was a different kind of experience. That was, I tried to go to one game every year with, two of my brothers and a friend of ours that's like a brother. So that trip is always incredible. And then that game was just so incredible as well, kind of a whirlwind trip. But I think from this year, I'd say, the end of that Saints game. Well, even the very end of that Saints game, they call a timeout, right? Because the Saints are down there ready to kick the field goal. That would have put them up with like 30 seconds left. We're watching that towards that same end zone. It was a groupie, it was the kicker. Pre-game, he missed from that exact same distance. That was one of those you're watching it going like, he missed wide from this distance, like pre-game. Like, so you're waiting for it. And when he missed it, like, yeah, just I don't know that I've ever heard the stadium that loud. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a little bored. So the next question, I also want to go off topic as well, but I want to get to more know a little bit more about you as you know, working as a writer. You know, kind of you used to work for, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Cheesehead TV and all those other ones. Would you like to tell us about, like, your experiences there and, like, how they kind of influenced you and, like.
Yeah. I've been around for a bit. I think this next year will be 11 years. I've been writing for one outlet or another. Some of that's been on my own, kind of starting early, kind of blog with a buddy of mine. And then I kind of jumped around a few places since then. I can't honestly, the first place isn't around anymore. So I don't remember. Then Pack to the Future, Titletown Sound Off. And then, yeah, I was at Pack to the Future. There was a podcast I started with a couple guys over there, and then we started a site. And then I'd reached out at some point to Jersey Al and just said, hey, do you have a spot over there? At the time when I started, there really wasn't anyone writing about film from film perspective stuff. And so they said, sure, but come on over. And so I went over to Cheesehead. I've been there for 4 or 5 years now, I guess. And I've been doing Packer Report for the past 3, I think. It's been great. I mean, the guys over there, you know, Packer Report, we kind of chat a little bit more. It seems it's a smaller team of guys. It's a group of guys I've known for a long time. It's, you know, headed by Ross Oglem, Zach Jacobson, kind of do a lot of the day-to-day. Andy Herman's over there. Derry Carragher's over there. Like, a bunch of guys like I've known and have been writing for a long time. So that's been awesome. So kind of got a group chat with those guys. We'll go back and forth on some stuff sometimes. And it's just, if I want to pick someone's brain on something football related, it's generally Ross or Andy is one of my first stops as far as, like, hey, I'm seeing this. Is this something you're seeing as well? And so that was one of the things I know when because I was writing on my own for a while. When I joined a place, it's actually one of the first places I did. I was writing about horror stuff. And before I started doing a whole lot of football stuff, I was doing horror stuff. And when I joined an actual site, it was like, oh, this is why you write with people, because you get a chance to kind of shoot ideas off of people and you get that support group and different viewpoints and makes you think of things a different way, which is awesome. So Packer Report's been great for that. And Cheesehead TV, I mean, it's been amazing as far as just the exposure over there, the people I'm with. I joined not long after Nagler came back over there, and it kind of blew back up again. But Jersey Al's been great over there. We've got a kind of a Slack channel, talk about a whole bunch of stuff there. Ideas about articles and hey, I again, kind of same kind of thing. I saw this. Are you seeing this? And this year I was able to do through that a weekly video thing with John Kuhn, where I talked about football and break down X's and O's with John Kuhn, which was just it's something I never thought I'd get a chance to do. That's just absolutely incredible. So yeah, I mean, I can't. Right. Both of those places. Again, I think Packer Report 3 years, Cheesehead Print TV probably 4 or 5 at this point. I can't say enough about the experiences I've had over there, the people I've met over there, the people I've known over there. Every time we go up to Green Bay, we meet up with Corey Banky's house for Cheesehead TV is right across the street. So we make a point to, all right, we got to see Corey when we're up here, get a Corey old fashioned. And just, you know, I've met so many amazing people through those sites. It's been an amazing experience for sure.
Wait, Corey old fashioned?
Corey's got a little bar at his house, and he's one of the best hosts I've ever seen in my entire life. He'll just be back behind the bar making drinks for 4 hours before the game up until about 1 hour before the game. And he's got about, I don't know how many different old fashioned recipes that he has that'll make you up. He's got one that's like an old school Wisconsin one. That's the Lombardi, make you a Lombardi one and make you a Charles Woodson one with the Woodson stuff. So he does it up, dude. He does it up. It's awesome.
Good guy. We should come over there. whenever we go to Lambeau, we should definitely.
I know.
If we're ever invited, you know,
it's incredible.
Definitely. Yeah. Mary, would you like to go?
Oh, I see that. Sure. Who are your top? Who are your top two Packer players, not naming quarterbacks, offensive and defensive, and then current?
Oh, man. All time, we'll say.
Isn't that behind? No.
I will go. Question? I heard, yeah, I broke up a little bit. I think I got it. So all time I'll say, I mean, I'm older. I grew up through the 90s and everything. I will say like Craig Newsome, cornerback. He's only there 4 years, had a back injury. I think he played with the Cowboys for half a year after that. One of my all time favorite players. Just tremendous sticky corner. I loved watching him play. One of those like great what ifs. If he didn't get injured, what does he become? So Craig Newsome for like one of my all time favorite corner guys on defense to watch. I mean, you could go with the obvious, like Reggie White, Charles Woodson, guys like that. But I'll go Craig Newsome just to mix it up a little bit. Offense, I'll kind of go that same era. I mentioned him earlier. I love Dorsey Levens, man. I love watching Dorsey Levens play football. He's kind of that proto back what we're seeing now in terms of like the kind of the bigger dude, but like a good receiver, good runner, good in pass pro. Kind of a bigger Aaron Jones is kind of what he was, but kind of before his time. So I loved him. And current, oh man, like, I'm a huge Randall Cobb guy, so I can't say Randall Cobb because he's, you know, he's not on the team anymore. So that kind of sucks. But yeah, we got a bunch of guys to look at, right? So not quarterback. I'll say for offense, man, and maybe it's just because of how far he came, but I loved what I saw at Tucker Kraft. That's the dude that I've wanted in Green Bay for so long. That tight end who can block and be a good receiver. And when he was on, when he got dialed in somewhere halfway through the year, just absolutely changed what the offense could do. So I'll go Tucker Kraft on offense. And defense, I've always been a Kenny Clark guy. Just absolutely adore Kenny Clark. So I'll go Kenny Clark for current defensive player.
Nice shot. That's very interesting. I mean, I'm not very familiar with a lot of 90s Packers, but of course they seem like a lot of very interesting people, you know, for us to watch. Like, especially with that running back you're talking about, he reminds me of like a 90s Derrick Henry. That's that, with that description you gave, I could just imagine him right now.
Yeah.
It's like with better hands.
With better hands than Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry's okay hands. But
well, they used to run Levens on wheel routes and stuff. Like that dude could run. And that was like, I think one of the first big guys as far as like the receiving guys was like Brian Westbrook when he was with the Eagles. So this was like pre-Westbrook. They had Packers 90s where it was Levens and Edgar Bennett. And Bennett was more like that straight ahead thumper, and Levens was kind of more the twitchy guy. But yeah, watch some 90s games at some point. The defense, I mean, that 96 season, Gilbert Brown, you won't see like a 350-pound man cover a running back in the flat like that. Like, it just did some incredible stuff out of that 96 team for sure.
Jeez. All right. So of course, with us now being eliminated from this postseason, you know, of course, I'm going to watch Kansas City win the Super Bowl. Now it's time for all of us to focus on the draft. And of course, with this year's draft, it's going to be a bit interesting trying to see what we can get. I want your thoughts on that draft. And also the year after that, of course, we will be hosting a draft in Lambeau Field. So, well, by we, I mean Green Bay. So how do you feel about that draft coming in as well? I just want to know
like
your picks on like who should we draft on 2024 and like your thoughts on, of course, the draft coming to Green Bay and Lambeau Field.
So I haven't done too much on the draft yet. I mean, I watch a little bit of college football. I don't get a chance to watch a ton. So usually I wait until more people start digging in the draft and I piggyback off of what they do. I get so burnt out during the season that I just I take some time off, man. So I started looking a little bit just as far as like who I think the holes that they could fill, that they need to fill, and specifically some of the stuff on defense. Like I'm a sucker for wide receivers. Love me a small twitched up wide receiver. Like Zay Flowers was like my number one dude last year. And I do think the Packers probably take a wide receiver this year, but I don't think it's going to be like top of the heap guy. They've got talent there. I think you should always be taking wide receivers. You don't know how some of those guys are going to shake out in the long run. But I was watching just earlier, right before we started, I was watching Kalen Bullock. Is a safety out of USC. Because I mean, one of the things with this defense switchover, some of the things that they're going to need, I don't know if they're going to be able to find that stuff in the draft. Obviously, I think the front is pretty good. The front four is pretty good. I think the corners probably take someone there. I think the safety is going to be, that's one of the major issues. You need that single high safety, that center field guy. They don't really have anyone under contract. They Anthony Johnson Jr. and Zane Anderson, maybe, I think are like the only safeties under contract right now. And either of those guys, Anthony Johnson Jr. maybe could be that center field guy. But they need that center field guy. And so Bullock is a guy who's intriguing to me in like the second round, just in terms of athletic profile, what he could do, where he played at USC. There's stuff there to clean up. So I don't think he's a first round dude. I think probably second or third round perhaps, but he seems like he's going to test, but the Packers like to test him. He can play that center field role. And then Halfley's bread and butter, man, was like DB coach. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, a very, very good one. And so some of the stuff that needs to be cleaned up there, I think if you get a good coach, good teacher, you can fix some of that stuff. So Bullock to me is like my number one guy. And granted, I've just barely started scratching the surface on some of these guys. But he's the dude I'm looking at now just because it fits what they need. And I think he's a guy who can kind of grow into something very good there and they'll have for a very long time. So that's my dude there. Again, I haven't done too much with the draft yet. I'm doing something for the Cheesehead TV draft guide this year, but it's really just on Mike Halfley's defense. So I haven't really looked too much at the guys themselves. As far as the draft coming to Green Bay, it's amazing. Right. I love it's coming. This is like the culmination of Mark Murphy working on that and doing that. It's going to be obviously, I think his last year, you got that mandatory retirement when you hit that certain age. I think it's amazing that he was able to do this with all the stuff. I think there are some people who don't like Mark Murphy. If you look at what he's done with his team, with that area, this is the culmination of all the work he's been doing in Green Bay. And so I think it's an amazing capper to a guy who I think has had done a lot for Green Bay over the years. And I'm thrilled, man. I'm really, really excited to see how this turns out. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be crowded. I do not plan on being up there. I don't think, because I don't know you'll be able to move at all, but I think it's going to be incredible. I'm very excited about it.
All right. Well, we're planning on going to the draft ourselves, taking a little trip for, of course, I've never been to Lambeau, so I don't know what that's like, but I'm really dying to go. I'm just looking forward to this, and I don't think Mary has either, right? Never been to Lambeau?
I've not been to Lambeau. Being from Wisconsin, I've never been to Lambeau.
It's amazing. Just absolutely incredible.
We have comments.
Yeah, of course, Justin being – saying he's excited for the new DC. We're going to get to that in a moment. And he also can't wait for the 2025 draft. Yeah, of course, we all cannot wait for the 2025 draft. Right now,
and then Justin also said,
yeah, we are hoping to – let's focus on this coming season, of course, coming up, especially with, you know, the potentials of what's going to happen if we're going to make it back to the playoffs or we're going to make it far. So – hopefully, let's focus on that, and we'll get to the draft in Green Bay. But it would be nice to ask about it just as All right. Mary, you want to ask next one?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure. What are your thoughts on how the team can improve for the Super Bowl in the future? I know people mentioned kicker is a popular one now. Defense coordinator, which we finally got.
Kicker, absolutely. I think the defense, and with the defensive coordinator, I've been digging into this stuff a lot. I really like what he's done in the past, everything he's talked about. I love that we have like this very recent, because he did like an hour long interview on a podcast like a day before it was announced. So I love that we've got that to go back to, and they ask kind of about his philosophy and all that stuff. So I love everything I've heard about him. I think how he fits some of what the front does. I think that's really where some of the stuff needs to fix. You know, they need to offensive line did pretty well, I think, overall this year. Plug a couple of those holes, I think, especially right guard. I think it's probably they're going to look to improve. They always look to improve the offensive line. The health of Aaron Jones makes me believe they're probably going to take a swing on some kind of mid-round running back this year and get a little more juice there. You want the wide receiver group and Jordan Love to be on some kind of upward trajectory, or at least be about start where they ended. And I think if they do that, offense will be fine. I mean, there's not a whole lot that you need to do there. Those guys are going to be together for a while. But the defense, and I mean, we've been saying this for a while, and part of this is in my head is like – Is the defense really that talented? Because you look around and you see Kenny Clark is, I mean, finally, I swear to God, Kenny Clark's been in the league 15 years and he's 29 years old. Like, it's just absolutely insane. But he had a very good year, but he's getting a little older and he's got a lot of miles on his tire. I think he drafted when he was 20. And so he's been in the league for a while. I really like what I saw at Carl Brooks. I think Devontae Wyatt, who was drafted a little older, but Devontae Wyatt showed some really nice stuff. Quay Walker showed some nice stuff. We know what Jair can do. I think Carrington Valentine showed some nice stuff. So it seems like there's talent there, but they do need to shore up some positions as well as hopefully bolster some of that talent. I mean, like I mentioned already, like safety, they need a post safety. They don't have one. I think if they want to bring back Savage on a 1-year deal, he's a maybe. But you still need to improve on stuff there. So that's the big thing for me. I think special teams is cursed. Special teams is going to be special teams. Defense, I think if you can shore up defense and just not be 22nd against the run or 29th against the run. I think they've been 30th in DVOA against the run every year under Joe Barry. If you get like top 15, if you're top half the league against the run and you're top 10 against the pass, which they have been under Joe Barry, with the offense playing like even kind of what they're playing at the end of this year, like I don't know if they're going to be humming on all cylinders like they were against Dallas, but if you're playing just, you know, pretty good football, if you're playing top 10 offense, which they can absolutely be on the offensive side of the ball, that's a really good team. So, I mean, I think it all hinges on you can shore up some stuff on offense. I think it all comes down to what Halfley can do on defense and what pieces they have to kind of bolster some of this and build this defense a little bit more in that kind of single high look that he wants to do.
Okay. And how about like free agency wise? How do you feel about that? Of course, I know you're talking about Darnell Savage, Kenny Clark, and all them. What about other people like David Bakhtiari, for example? How do you feel about that?
They can't do much with Bach. I mean, unless they do something with his contract. I think he's got a $40 million dead cap hit. Like, they can't do much unless some other team's going to take something on. So he is going to be back. Like, I think Bakhtiari is going to be back. But I think there's always going to be the question of how's that knee? And I think, you know, Rashid Walker, I think, played well down the stretch. He looked real bad early. He looked pretty good late. I still don't know if he's the long-term answer there. So, I mean, I think in a perfect world, Bakhtiari's knee is healthy. He starts all 17 games in the regular season. He starts, they'll have the one seed, all three games in the postseason. They win the Super Bowl, and then he goes out riding in a blaze of glory. Like, that's David Bakhtiari's ending, hopefully. There's even, with Bakhtiari, it's not even week to week. It's day by day. It's hour by hour with some of the stuff. There was a game, I don't think it was this past year, I think it was 2 years ago, that he woke up and his knee felt wrong. Like, he practiced all week. He woke up, his knee felt wrong, and then he was scratched for the game. He just couldn't play. Like, I think that's the world he's living in now. So I would love – I think he's going to be back on the team because I don't think they have another option unless some other team's willing to eat all of that dead cap. But I would really like him back. Again, Savage is a guy, depending on what else you do. Like, Jordan Fuller is a dude that I think is, like, an intriguing fit in Green Bay just because he played under Halfley. He played single high. They could bring him in if he kind of knows what they want to do. He knows what he want to do with the system. But if you're not taking a swing on a guy like that, safeties aren't going for much. If you say, like, the best year Savage has was under Pettine, which was kind of more single high stuff. Savage, you are the guy patrolling the back end. We'll give you 1 year, $2.5 million, or throw some, you know, escalators on there, depending on how, you know, you get four picks, you get another extra $1 million, whatever you want to do with those escalators there. I think it could turn out like he could still be good. And that's probably just me talking myself into something, but someone like that, I think you need to bring one of those guys back, whether that's Savage on the back end or Jonathan Owens rolling close to the line. Like, I don't think you can go into next year with a rookie or kind of, you know, a late 20s free agent safety and Anthony Johnson Jr. I like what Johnson Jr. showed this past year, but I think you need to bring at least one of those guys back. I'd be down with both, just because, again, Savage, maybe this is the right scheme for him, and Owens, because I like Simone Biles. Just keep Jonathan Owens around for Simone Biles. And he played well in the box. Like, that's the thing. When they rolled him down, if you could play a single high safety, he played pretty well in the box. If you want to have Jonathan Owens just play in the box, like, I'd be fine with both those guys. But I think you need to bring at least one of those guys back for sure.
Right. I definitely see what you mean. Of course, Emily Mack, of course, the comment mentioning Lambeau is heaven on earth. I believe that. I have not yet. Of course, it's the mecca of all football stadiums, so I'm hoping to go there eventually, but of course, 1919 tap. Well, I want to try that out. Check out downtown, all that mess.
So, the Hall of Fame. Very wants to. Incredible. Yeah, dude, hit the Hall of Fame when you're there. It's amazing.
Gotta. We gotta have the full Packer experience. There's gotta be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yep. What are your top three Packer moments besides the Super Bowls, of course? Like, you know, like any basic games, you know, like.
I would say I go back to it's a specific game, but it's during the Super Bowl run. But that Falcons game in 2010 is one I have rewatched I don't know, 20 times at this point. My brother almost broke my couch during the Teron Williams pick six at the end of the half. And so I've always got, you know, that seared into my memory. That was an incredible game. And obviously Super Bowl run and the same thing, like the 96 Panthers game, the NFC Championship game, which was just cold. You can see how cold it was on TV. There's so many great moments in that game. I've rewatched that one 1,000 times. And the 07 Snow Bowl game, was that wild card divisional round against the Seahawks? That was like Ryan Grant fumbled two times on his first three carries, ended up with like 250 yards. That game, there's so much snow coming down in that game. Like, there's nothing like a snow game in Lambeau Field. And that game there has been one I have rewatched just a countless number of times. I almost always have games going on in the background. I work from home. I do a lot of, data analysis, data mining stuff. And so I've got a TV above. And so I'm waiting for stuff to process. A lot of times I'll kind of glance up and, you know, have old Packers games up there. So I've rewatched them a bunch, but I'll say it might be cheating because they're not Super Bowl, but they were during playoff runs. But 2010 Atlanta, 96, the NFC Championship game against the Panthers, and then 07 Snow Bowl game is against the Seahawks. Like, probably the top three games I've rewatched the most for the Packers.
Right. So we didn't reiterate the question that good, but you didn't cheat. You know, it's more like games that weren't, you know, Packers Super Bowl run.
You know, okay.
Big Super Bowl plays, you know. Right. That's what I was saying. Justin saying Alan Harris pick six, a Snow Bowl 07 against Seattle, and Tremont Williams, of course, pick six against Atlanta was his kind of big three. I'll definitely say my big three. Of course, the game against Tampa, the last game between Rodgers and Brady, I was there. That was my first NFL game. Definitely worth it. Of course, the Ice Bowl, another option right there. I've seen that one. That one's, oh, man, so beautiful, against Dallas. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I forgot who the other one is, but a couple of good games. But I would have to say, honestly, recently with the Chiefs game against for
great Jordan game.
Love against Kansas City, although, you know, a bit of rec ball on both sides, but otherwise still a great game. It's one of the best games I've seen this year. I've always looked forward to rewatching it.
I've gone through that one a few times. That's a really fun one for sure.
Okay. Aaron, do you have three games you want to your three games you want to share or not? Give her a second. She's a little.
Sure. I know we've already done this question a lot. Miami on Christmas a couple of seasons ago. The Miami on Christmas was a good one. I should have been at that game, but I wasn't.
Which Russell one?
Douglas are you talking pick six to tie true. The game in the Cardinals?
Yeah, that was last year. Yeah, that was all. The Miami Dolphins game was last year.
What?
The Cardinals was a couple of years ago.
The Cardinals. What?
The Dolphins game was last
year. Yeah, that one. Russell's first game as a Packer is the Cardinals. Yep. Wait. Yeah. I don't know what I'm thinking of. And then, probably the Ice Bowl. Or, like, one of, like, Vince Lombardi's, like, first coaching experiences. Like, I feel like that would be fun to go back to history and rewatch, like, some of those.
Right. And I also wish I would have went to that Miami game too, but you know, it was either Tampa Bay or Miami. I was like, go to Tampa, you know.
No.
Still worth it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
You're up.
Okay, fine. Postseason outcome. I know we were kind of already talked about this. You already mentioned free agency. Any one that you want the Packers to bring in for free agency, and also coaching changes, whoever's left. I don't know what positions are left anymore on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I had him earlier. I think like Jordan Fuller's been a guy I've got my eye on just because it is. He kind of fits what Halfley wants to do in terms of free agency. They've got room to get someone else in the door. I think they can move some money around. I think they're $2.5 million over the cap right now, but they can restructure and get quite a bit of money. I think Gutekunst said something effective like, money's not hampering us. We can bring in whoever we want to bring in. So I think they're going to bring in someone, but I haven't looked too much at the free agency class. I mean, just as far as like positional, I think safety's got to be up there again. Like, I do think you need someone there and a linebacker opposite Quay. I assume Devondre Campbell is out the door. If he's not out the door, he looked real slow last year. And I don't know if that was an injury or not, but if he was healthy and his legs are just gone, like, you need another linebacker, especially with what Half is going to ask them to do. So I think you need to bring in someone in the door in free agency on defense. I think offense, they're fairly well set on, but I think safety and linebacker, but I haven't really looked too much in terms of like who I think they should bring in. I did see, I mean, an intriguing name. I don't think he really plays in the system. Eddie Jackson just got cut from the Bears, I think, today. And he's a guy, I mean, he was at his best when Amos was next to him. And so once Adrian Amos left, he kind of did not play nearly as well. And so I don't know if he's a guy you'd want to bring in. Obviously, we've seen him a bunch because of, you know, who he's played for. But that's an intriguing name as far as, like, I've seen him do enough good stuff that maybe you take a flyer on a guy like that.
Not bad. I did see that Eddie Jackson got cut. You know, it is what it is, but you know, that just means the Bears are gonna suck even more.
Yeah, well, that's their way. That's how they do it.
Sucking since 86, but you know, obviously just if we would have to get Eddie Jackson, we would also have to get Amos back from the Texans, so since
he left. What about Amos?
Yeah.
Definitely. So, of course, you with the big one, Jeff Hafley. I obviously want to know your thoughts on him joining the coaching staff, his buddies joining as well, you know, the potential adjustments within the coaching staff and how you feel about those who are still remaining and those who have left. How do you feel about the coaching staff coming into out of this season and being able to come into this coming season?
I love it. I mean, and some of the positional coaches, I'm not as well versed. I know a lot of the guys he brought with him. My youngest brother is really into college ball, really into recruiting, and so every time he brought on a couple guys, he would text within, you know, 2 minutes in terms of like, oh, this guy was really good, that, you know, this, you know, the Florida was trying to get this guy, or Georgia was trying to get this guy in to do recruiting and coach DBs and stuff like that. So it seems like, I mean, from what I know, I've really dug more into Hafley in terms of like his philosophy, who he is, what he kind of wants to do, and kind of how he wants to do it. I really like the base I think that he's going to bring in. It's gonna look different. I've always been a more of a 3-4 guy than a 4-3 guy, and he's bringing the 4-3 with him. So we'll see how that goes. But they've got the body types for it. I think the safety is going to be intriguing, as I've mentioned like 1,000 times on this show already. Probably stop talking about safety at a certain point. But I mean, I'm interested in what he's doing there. But in terms of what they do up front with the corners and stuff, I mean, they I know he wants to press. Is one of the big things. Like, if you ask Hafley what he believes, he wants to press. But he's also been a guy who's shown that he's flexible outside of that as well. But even when he's playing outside of that, they didn't have the guys that Boston College really press like he wants to press. But they're still aggressive. They'll play 7 yards off, but they're playing downhill. It's not like the tentative take a half step, rock step back, and then, you know, kind of half-heartedly jog forward when everything starts breaking down. And those guys will attack, even when they're playing off. So I'm really excited to see. I mean, and this is, you look at guys like, you know, Jair, Carrington Valentine. I live in Kentucky. I graduated from UK, and Valentine's a UK guy. So I've been watching him for a while. That guy wants to get in your face. He wants to talk. He wants to just hit you and talk. And that's the same thing Jair wants to do to a certain extent as well. And so getting those guys in a system where they can play downhill, where the mentality is be aggressive. And by all accounts, I mean, that the biggest thing about Hafley, and the most important thing in any coach is teaching. Is what can you teach? Because if you've got, everyone's got scheme. People have asked me 1,000 times about like Joe Barry and how's his scheme. There's very few like defensive schemes in the league. Like there's 3 or 4 core. Like there's really not that many at all. It all comes down to how you teach it. Because if you can teach that well, your guys can play fast. They can play together like they're playing on a string. You look at, you know, some of those that Rams defense with Staley, with Evero doing the secondary stuff. Those guys are playing on a string. Like that's not because of what they're teaching. That's how they're teaching it. And by all accounts, you listen to guys in college, you listen to guys he's worked with, you listen to guys like Richard Sherman talk about him, and the first thing to a man they mention is how he teaches. And so, I mean, that's to me, that's the most exciting thing, is you've got these guys who want to play aggressive, but now you've got a guy who is by all accounts a very good teacher and a good dude to boot. So again, the guys he's brought in, and I'm blanking on their names at the moment, but all based from my younger brother, it sounds like he's built a very nice squad. And again, he's a guy who comes in, knows what he wants to do, and seems like he has been successful doing it. So I'm ready to have my heart broken, because I couldn't be more excited to watch his defense next year.
Yeah, and how about all the coaches that we had that have left? You know, like I think there was like maybe a wide receiver coach or something like that that left, you know, or somebody like that. I don't know.
But wide receiver coaches, Justin Frabel or Jason Frabel, right? Like, he's still around. I know wide receiver coach is still around. And what Clements is there, they brought in someone else to Sean Mannion, right? Is behind Clements now.
Sean Mannion,
I think, is like kind of the I really like him. I like that hire. And I think they let Jerry Montgomery walked, basically let Jerry Montgomery go. Like, everyone on defense could interview. I know Montgomery walked, and he, that's right. Miles, yes, thank you, Justin. Miles White was brought in. I really like that move as well. So I'm excited. I think all last year was as big, like, LaFleur's got a lot to prove with all the hiring stuff, and we'll see. Man, we'll see how this shakes out. But so far, it seems like what he's done with bringing Halfley in, the Miles White hire, kind of what he's allowed Halfley to do, which is just like, there's no one precious on that side of the ball. You know, there's no one like untouchable. Because I was thinking when Barry came in, right? Was Barry came in, and it was like, you're taking Petten's guys. And so it was a lot of that same coaching staff that was under Petten. So I like that there was this, they're bringing some guys back, but some guys that have been there for a very long time, he let walk just because it was this, okay, this is your side of the ball, dude, you do this. So I love the mentality of doing that. It seems like they're building a good staff there. I'm very excited.
Awesome. All right. Excellent.
Is it my
turn? Yep. Your turn.
We only have one left. You realize that, right?
I got another one.
Okay, fine, whatever. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, you first. It's your turn.
Fine. As I was writing more notes. Like I always do. Who's a guest that you want to be on this pod? Or who's a guest that you want to hear from on this podcast?
Oh, man. There are so many people. If I say, can I be a homer on this podcast and just say Mike Kawano? I think Mike Kawano should come on. Has he been on yet? I assume he has, right?
No, Mike Kawano.
No,
he has not.
Yeah, you should have Mike on. Have Mike on. Especially draft stuff.
No,
there's very few people I trust on draft stuff more than Mike.
I know. Yeah. I know he had car troubles the other day.
Yeah, that sounds right.
From what I know of. But we have not had him on.
Yeah, he's awesome with draft stuff. Mike's great.
Does he call me?
That'd be great.
Adrian, go ahead with your question.
All right, so I got one last question for you before we call it. So my last question is, of course, Tom Grossi is one fan of the year, and, you know, it's big for not only just the Packer community as a whole, but the Grossi Posse Nation, of everyone who's a big fan of their teams, and especially in the NFL. How do you feel about Tom getting this award and your reaction when he got that award?
I've not, as we kind of talked about before, I've not met him in person. I've talked to Tom on a handful of occasions. There are very few better people in this world, like, let alone like content creators, as far as like what he does for streaming, you know, for the Packers, for the other teams, and what he puts together, the thought that he puts into everything he does, the planning he puts in everything he does, and obviously his sense of humor. There's not a better person, very few better people in this world than Tom Grossi. What he does, I mean, it's not just about the 30 and 30, which obviously was incredible that he was able to do that journey. And then beyond that, what, how much money he was able to raise and what he was able to raise it for. There's so many unspoken things that Tom does. And you ask a lot of people in the Packers community, if you need something, Tom's one of the first people to respond. If you have a family member, that is, hurting, that needs to raise money for, that something is going on, Tom will give money. Tom will be in your DMs. Tom will be texting you, asking if everything's okay. And is more than generous with his time and money on that front. There's very few people that I think are better people than Tom. I can't think of anyone better to represent the Green Bay Packers than Tom Grossi in terms of that fan of the year. That was one of those. I know, being a Packer fan, I'm a homer. I fully admit it. I was like, there can't be a better fan this year, especially, than Tom Grossi, right? Like, for what he did, like, certainly no one. If he lost, it was just because, you know, someone had, you know, they stuffed the ballot boxes and all that stuff. So the fact that he was actually able to do it, which is, again, no surprise whatsoever. But I'm so happy for him, and so happy that we have someone like him to represent our team. It's truly incredible.
Definitely, definitely. And I'll, of course, I was able to ask Tom for a little bit of help because I knew I found out a coworker of mine had a rare form of liver cancer, and I just posted that GoFundMe, which, by the way, for those of you who are watching and are curious about that, it's still going on. We are at 80% of the $5,000 dono mark. We're above 4,000, still open for anyone who wants to donate. I'll repost the link on Twitter, just in case. But Tom is such a great guy, and then all of us were very happy to meet him. And, you know, of course, I'm sure you're very happy to talk to him, though I'm sure you would like to meet him someday in person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was definitely worth the shot, worth the person to go see.
That's, I've heard everyone I've known that I've met him, that have hung out with him on even a semi-regular basis, has had nothing but amazing things to say about just Tom Grossi. Every bit as good in person as you would expect, is my understanding. So I would love to be able to meet him at some point, for sure.
Definitely. Of course, we had Urine Entry on one of our episodes, and he had a lot of good things to say about Tom. So it was, of course, we're all just thankful that we got to meet him. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see. Hopefully, maybe we can have him on the podcast if we ever get the chance. So
yep. Reach out, ask him, man.
We'll see, as long as he's not busy.
yeah, no, that's the thing at this point, right?
He's always busy, so
yeah.
So do you have any like final thoughts, any questions about that, anything that you want to share with us?
For me, no, not really. I mean, I'll just say, you know, thank you guys for having me on. This has been a lot of fun. I know the off season is always kind of this dead zone for me. Again, like I said, I kind of work on things in the background and then try to unleash it at some point, but I'm kind of in a dead zone right now, and I'm just reading up on halfway as much as humanly possible. So getting the chance to talk to people about football instead of just be living in my own mind about football has been awesome. So yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Mary, did you have something to say, or?
Like we've said in the intro, thank you so much for coming on. And yeah.
Thanks. Right now, our main focus, or at least mine. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. So, the main focus is, getting through hockey and basketball, of course, you know, and eventually baseball season coming up, but it'll be just this dead weight between seasons. So.
Yeah.
At least we can look forward to the draft and the schedule. So.
We got that, if nothing else, right?
Well, guys, thank you guys so much for coming on to the show. Hopefully I'll be back soon. And thank you, Dusty, for joining us on this wonderful experience. You were very great. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right. Till next time, guys. This is Mac and Cheese Podcast, and Go Pack Go.
Yeah, I'm going to play the outro.
Cut the live.
Oh, Emily said go pack, go.
Yeah, go pack, go. All right. Can you cut the live?
Wait, did it end?
No, it's still going.
Did it end?
It's still going.
I'm clicking on stream. Wait, did it end?
No, it's still going.
Okay.